All right, what's up, guys? Here on another episode of Eli and Mike on our podcast here in Rodeo, Beverly Hills. We have an amazing guest with us. We have David Serrero. Hey, David, how are you?
How are you, brother?
Amazing,
so good
amazing.
To see you. Welcome, I love you guys welcome. So much.
Thank you for seeing you.
We
love you
so much.
Thank you
for the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, to me and to Mike, you're an icon. You're in the film industry.
Right.
You are doing some huge things out there. Things that, trust me, we don't have the guts to do it.
You're
building empires based on people's characters, and you're building all these different types of movies, literature out there for business and movie watchers and everybody that's in the film. What has driven you to these kind of successes?
Oh, you're very sweet. Well, first of all, I want to say how much I admire the two of you.
Thank you.
And how much I love the two of you, and how much I've been watching your podcast and all the stuff you do. And
Thank you.
Talking about icons, you know. Thank you. No, it's
appreciate
it's,
you.
You know, I've always been passionate with the idea of working, and I don't know if it's because of where I'm from or how I grew up, but I appreciate so much the opportunity. You know, I always feel, you know, there is the Sahara and we are a piece of sand. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when you get picked up, I don't care how polished you are, you have to say thank you for the opportunity and give your best, because the greatest gift is not money or diamonds or whatever. It's people's trust.
Of course.
You know, because I had ups and downs. You know, I was robbed by my ex-best friend. I lost everything. You know, I had ups and downs. But I always worked every single day of my life because I had people's trust. And I did everything to honor it. So I never say no to work. And so I'm always about, instead, you know, doing the same show for 5 years, I'd rather do 5 shows in 1 year, you know,
there you go.
Because I'm going to learn so much by switching from one technique to the other, meeting new audiences, new people.
Love that.
And what you learn from one, you bring it to others. You know?
I love
let
that.
Let alone how you can share the cost.
Yes.
Let alone that.
You know? Exactly.
And, and coming from you, you know, we're in the Hollywood vicinity, right? We're in LA, but obviously close to Hollywood. Yeah. You brought up the word trust. It's such a difficult thing to find in Hollywood. People are just meant to be liars. People just say anything to get into the showbiz. Being in the show business yourself and being someone that's creating these films, does that happen to you often?
Because you're behind the camera.
So you know exactly what's going on.
It was a lot before. You know, as an actor, I did over 100 movies.
Wow.
But I went from very small parts.
Yes.
And for me, as I always said, there's no small parts. There's only great parts. And
I
it's
love
up
that.
To you to make it the best of your
I
capacities.
Love that.
But for me, I was like, you know, I was washing dishes in restaurants, you know, for many of my young years. So for me, anything that was taking me out from that was a blessing. So, but to, you know, as a theater actor, I played all the leading roles. As an opera singer, I played all the leading roles. But it's true that all the Hollywood, I'm not going to say BS, but, you know, like, by example, I have a premiere of one of my movie and there is the red carpet and you see all these agencies who are like, can my artists come? I say, sure, okay, no problem. They come just for the red carpet, take the picture and they leave. They don't stay to watch
that happens. People just
so,
do that.
Yeah, so now what I do is I do the red carpet after the movie.
Perfect.
You know? And you cannot you know what I mean?
You can't skip the movie.
Because I was like, I felt used, you know, anyway. So no, that's the thing, but you cannot really cheat for so long. You know, you can get lucky for one role, one part. You were the right moment, the right time. The person, you know, you were the only one around. You know, you can get lucky, but you cannot have 25 years if you don't deliver the goods.
Of course,
there is always better than you, but no one would do better than you if you know how to shush and to listen and to work with yes, madam, yes, sir. You know?
Got it. Amazing.
And that's really what I realized as a producer, because I've been producing for like 20 years now,
is
what you want from, whether it's actors or people, is that they can deliver what you want. That it's a job. Imagine you working at McDonald's or Subway and someone says, nah, I don't want to do the Big Mac that way. You know, I'm going to put a rose inside and a little car toy on the top of it.
Right.
It's
right.
My vision.
Yeah.
At some point, you're like, dude, you hired for that. You know.
Right. Yeah. So, right.
And that's what, for working all over the world, you know, that's why Americans always have been amazing, better than anybody else, is because they understood that before it's an art form, it's a job. Mm-hmm. And the same exigence you would have working McDonald's, by example, and I love McDonald's, working there.
You love McDonald's.
Then actually, I want to have one now, you know?
Right. We might go after this.
Working there, then you have to do these great art form.
Yes.
Know? That it's a job and you have to be on time. You have to know what you're doing and try your best. And what I like also in movies is that it's never done.
Yeah.
You can always go back to it and improve it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, very
so
true.
When I think, okay, now it's good, it's actually I bring it back to the first level of what I think is a good movie.
Amazing. Wow. So then 20 plus years, again, it goes back to trust. These people must trust you. I mean, you're sitting in front of amazing people. I want to say the names. I don't know if I can.
No, but you can. Whatever you
want. Even right after the show, I mean, you're going to be interviewing Christian Bale, I believe. So, you know, that's going to pop up right here. But literally, you know, these are amazing individuals who work so hard. And like you said, it all goes back to work. So sometimes people also don't see that you being in the presence of these individuals who are so known, celebrities, they put in so much work. So they're not just going to hire anybody to be behind the film or to say, be the producer, literally running the show. So again, I think, what you were stating is this kind of all comes with having that trust and not just for 1 year, it's 20 plus years of trust here that we're working on.
You're absolutely right. That's a great point. But all of that starts from something. Like a lot of performers, by example, they believe that they are hired by the audience. You know, there's a producer who hired you, a director who hired you, the venue sometimes. And you have to remember who hires you, you know. And it's so easy, especially in that work environment, to get lost, to lose your marks, to know who hired you, who actually made sure that you are there, you know. So I'm doing, by example, you mentioned Kristen Bell.
Yes.
She's part of a movie I'm directing, producing called Tovah, T-O-V-A-H. And it's about the wonderful life of a great actress and singer, big Broadway legend, Tovah Fertu.
Amazing.
And in that movie, I have Dustin Hoffman.
Oh my gosh. No way. It's Dustin Hoffman.
You know, a lot of these, you know, like legends.
Legends, yes. I was watching your Instagram and I saw you post a picture of you interviewing Dustin Hoffman, and I was like, Eli, oh my God. And then I told him, and he right away. Right. You know, exactly.
FaceTime.
We got rid of it.
I have also, and actually I thank you guys because you are the two of you in that movie.
Oh my God.
Honor.
Someone who loves you a lot and who I admire, so I don't want to cry, but I really love him. Is Jeff Hamilton.
Jeff Hamilton.
Jeff, if you look at us, we love
you. Right, we love you. Shout out to Jeff. We love you.
And he's the one who actually introduced me to you guys. And and I'm, you know, if there was a dictionary and you look at the word generosity, you will find the picture of Jeff Hamilton.
I see it.
All right.
He really.
Yes.
Maybe because we come from the same, different, of course, places, but he's so generous and his story is so wonderful. And we did a movie. I did a movie about him. Yes. And you guys saw before everybody, I must say, the trailer.
Yes. We have some sneak peeks.
So good.
We have some sneak peeks.
I can't wait.
Actually, can we talk about this film that you're creating? Because this is not just any old film. This is a documentary. It's a film about, you know, Jeff Hamilton's life. And this individual has touched so many lives, including ours, and not just because of what he does, but because of the person he is. And you had to capture that. And I mean, we saw some sneak peeks of this and I had the chills watching it. I have the chills talking about it right now because the way you captured this was so amazing from the colors. I mean, he's speaking about colors and there's colors on the film and so many different things going on.
The colors.
It was
so because I do also now the coloring in my movies because I understood that the colors and the light is also part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, if right. you say, even the sound of the voice, if yes. you say, I'm very sad, uh-huh. but you have big light, mm-hmm. it's not the same thing as if you bring Makes it down, sense. You know. So, mm. for example, I remember one of my last movie, which was premiere actually in L.A. at AMC Theater, mm-hmm. Yes, movie Rocconcours, which was at the Cannes Film Festival. That's really the yes. movie in France wow. that, you know,
that's right.
Installed me. Okay.
And the name of this movie again?
Is Rocconcours.
Yes, I want to make sure you say
it. The story is also part of the city of L.A. because okay. it's a French guy mm-hmm. who moved to L.A. and passed himself as an heir of the Rockefeller family.
Yes. Wow.
And he scammed people. And then he had the FBI after him. He went to a high security prison. I mean, it's really like a little bit Catch Me If You Can.
Right, yeah, French right. Way, yes. You know,
in the 90s. But
and based on a true story.
Based on a true story.
I mean, how epic is that? So
we had like a police car wow. chase, you know, I loved it with the helicopters, with the SWAT team.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I felt, you know, I yes, was like yes, my yes. command for a day God. Or two, you know. But
yes, and you were, you yeah. still are. I mean, yeah. you literally, oh, I mean, again, he's being so, you know, modest right now, but, you know, he was literally on not just any old red carpets. We've been on red carpets before, but. The red carpet of all red carpets is the sweet. Cannes Film Festival. Yeah. I hope I said that right. Cannes?
Which one?
The Cannes Film Festival?
The Cannes.
Okay. Yeah. And see, I don't even know how to say it correctly. We'll be there.
We should do a live from
Cannes. Oh my God. That would be amazing.
That would be good.
I would organize that. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. And this is the red carpet that you were on. And it's just so crazy because when you think of the real red carpet, that's the real red carpet.
It really is.
There's red carpets all over Hollywood.
But what
it's
is interesting
Kings.
Is that in Cannes is that you see Kings. The whole industry is there for a week, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. 10 days, but really a week.
Okay.
And so when you present your movie there, you have the press of the whole world. You have buyers wow. of the whole world.
Wow.
So that's very interesting. And, you know, they have quite a selective, standard. So
most definitely.
When you start the trailer by, you know, mm-hmm. Cannes Film Market or Film Festival
yes,
or,
right.
You know, I mean, we're not part of the competition, but, you know, even Indiana Jones, you know, they're not mm-hmm. part of the competition. They're mm-hmm. still presented mm-hmm. in Cannes. But still, it was for me really wonderful. But it's the amount of press that we had from that movie is enormous.
Yes.
But for to get back to Jeff, his story is so amazing. And actually the idea was to bring him back to Morocco because uh-huh. he hasn't been back to almost like 40 years
oh,
now.
Wow. You know? Oh, wow.
So he was going back to the house where he grew up, to these scholars, to the yes. souk, to all of that.
Yes.
And in the middle, I put a little bit of his story,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from Morocco, a little bit his story, Morocco, a little bit yes. his story, little, yeah. you know. And yes. we're going on like this.
Right, so. right. And, amazing. You guys have to
and,
see
yeah,
this.
And in the movie is so many, you know, big names and celebrities that he, you know, made wear the,
right.
the jackets. So and also, yes. because he's an artist, I'm always interested by the kitchen of an artist. So like how he works, how he creates. And because he's someone who is part of the fashion history.
Oh, yes.
For sure. You
oh,
know,
yes.
That's, by the way, the problem of a lot of fashion designers, which you guys know, it's that you can look at a jacket, you don't know who did what, you know, who is what.
Correct.
Same for singers. You know, before you had Barry White, you knew it was Barry White.
Right.
Sinatra,
right.
you knew it was Sinatra.
Yes.
But today, everybody wants to be a little bit the same. But one thing right. I learned from Constantin Brabus, you know, people who do the car, you know.
Yes.
He's actually in the movie I
oh,
Have
wow.
Jeff.
Oh, my gosh.
And
amazing.
He said, you have to be common enough, but you have to be different enough mm-hmm. also.
Wow.
So, and that was interesting because wow. if you're too different, people are like, oh, no, that's too much of a hard call. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But if you're too common, you're like, oh, you know, what's the difference between H&M, Zara, and Banana Republic? You
yes,
know, like
yes, yes.
But so you have to find the right balance. And
yes.
Jeff really takes us to his journey. It's a declaration of love toward Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell a little bit about the story, the unique
right.
story that the king of Morocco, the kings, they always have, rest their souls. And yeah, and it's a story full of inspiration. Yes. And you guys, we see you guys.
Oh my God, we're going to make an appearance. We're excited. So you guys see us on there as well.
We're going to have a premiere in LA.
Amazing.
And the premiere actually is in Paris, January 24th.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
During Fashion
okay.
Week.
So love that.
Oh my God. Everybody's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I know Jeff also just did a fashion show. Am I saying it right? Is it Barbus?
Brabus.
It was insane. This is like one of the, nobody's really have done it like this, a fashion show with these cards in it super cards, and it's very just different. So amazing. And you know,
it's the, these days images are traveling so much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just content yourself with just a small thing,
right?
You know, it has to be big, because yes. not only they travel but they last,
right?
You
right know? Right.
It's something for my movie. I always think that at any moment of the movie, someone can take 1 minute of it and put it on TikTok or on Instagram.
Right.
You know? So everything has to be like,
wow,
right on.
Good. That's great. And I'm sure not every producer thinks like that, because what you're stating right now is a little bit more new age. Like, you're right. Somebody can go on TikTok right now and blow up anything. Or make something go downwards, you know what I mean? Yeah, if they do a bad video.
But that's why today you have a chance, is that you can pass the movie to people. What I mean by that is, by example, I give you an example for the trailer that you guys saw.
Right? Yes.
To make the trailer, really, it took me 2 months.
Okay.
For 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Film, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So it took me 2 months. And when people will watch it, they will understand, because there's so much
going
on.
Oh, yeah.
But it takes another month at least for that project to be tested. Mm-hmm. So I test it to people. I send it. I say, what do you think? I said, and I test it to people who know everything.
Of course.
And people who are very new in the industry.
Yes.
People who don't know anything. Mm. People who don't know who even, by example,
Got
Jeff
it.
Is.
Okay,
who don't
yes.
know about fashion. Or people who know about fashion.
Right.
People who know very well Jeff. So you try from many people, and the amount of feedback that you can get. Not everything, of course, is to be good. Taken, because you have to follow
right.
as a director. Oh, you yes. have to be, it's like the cockpit door in a plane. Is you have to be very close, but also very open.
Yeah.
Very open, because I don't want to take a chance to miss on a good idea, but also very close, because otherwise everybody presses on
Got
buttons
it.
And the plane
right,
goes nowhere.
Right. You have to be in control.
So you have to also, because people watch a movie in movie theaters, and me, I do movies for the movie theaters,
yes,
for film festivals,
amazing.
But also people watch it on their phones after on the TV. So you have to test it, how it looks like. By example, if in a movie theater you put, by example, a title, you know, like the name of the person, you
of
know,
course.
On the phone it's unreadable. You know, it's too small.
Yes.
You know, so you have to find the right way to make sure that it translates everywhere.
Right.
Like in a movie theater,
powerful.
What gives, you know, the character in a movie is when it's not too much bright. You know, when you bring the audience into, okay, now we're in a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a movie.
That
you know?
Makes sense. That makes sense.
But on their phones, if you're too dark, people, they have enough of it, you know? So you have to find the right balance. So usually in movie theaters, I do one version where, because I know there is the sound, so I do the effects, boom, you know? But by example, for the trailer, I know 99% of the people, they watch the trailer on their phones or on the computer. So, you know,
different.
On YouTube or on Instagram.
Yes.
So I test it more like this. But after when I go to the platforms,
I love that.
Then I rearrange the movie a certain way, you know.
That's epic.
And also, little advice is if you're a director or producer, you have to learn how to edit your movies.
Of course,
you have to learn how to edit, because you can after first of all reformat the movie you want, and also, you know, I did a movie about Eli Tahari, the fashion designer, by example.
Yes.
I had film festivals that were dedicated to fashion. So I added more fashion into it, more fashion shows. I put more time there. I had film festivals that were more dedicated to another subject. So I remember I asked him a question about that. So added that. At the end, you have to know who your audience is.
Right, right,
I love
right.
that. And that's so important too, because the world's always changing, and the whole architecture of the development of film has changed so much since it the has. Beginning. I mean, yes. Nowadays you almost find almost not many people in, I mean, we go to the theaters too, and it's not always as full as it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people go straight to social media to find the film information. Like, all right, like the video that teaser trailer, right? Mm-hmm. You would change the character, the colors of it, because it would make more sense that on a cell phone, got you would it. See it a little bit differently.
Okay. Versus and the iPhone also naturally pushes the color.
Right.
So you have to be careful when you work on it on your computer mm-hmm. and after how it is in the phone. Because the iPhone, when you say, oh my God, the screen is great, you know, it's not really that. It's they push the colors.
Got
you
it.
Know, so it looks like, wow.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So you have to also be very careful. That's why you try it. You know, I have a friend who has a Samsung, you know. So I would say, come home because I need to, oh, yeah. to see how it looks.
How it looks on your phone.
The real pictures, the real pictures.
With your stuff, you know.
Oh and, my goodness.
Yeah, and iTunes and YouTube also compresses the video to got a certain it. Way. So all of this stuff you have to.
But that's all strategy thinking. Are you a one-man show? Do you work with a number of people?
I have some people, but I'm a one-man show. Okay. I always work that way. Of course, some projects I partner with other people, which is great. I always say, alone you go faster, but together you go further.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I always take it, you know, I always believe that with 20 brains, you are smarter than with one.
Right.
So I'm a one-man show in the sense that I create everything alone. But after all the testing part, I asked maybe 100 people.
Yes.
And you have to, even though I don't like that word, but you have to force people to tell you sometimes what they exactly think. Mm-hmm. You know,
I love
why
that.
I have a team of young ladies in their early 20s, guys in that same age, because they give me a new perspective that I, being 43, I don't necessarily have. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have my, you know, I'm wise and I have all of that. I have wisdom and experience and little gray hair, you know. But really, these people, they give me, like I have two people I don't release anything until they tell me.
Wow.
Know? And they write amazing. You, boom, and yes. stuff you would never think about.
Yes, wow. yes. And 43 is pretty young still.
Yeah, no, of course not. But honestly, I feel younger than ever now mm-hmm, than mm-hmm. even 20 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes.
but that's true. But you have.
But you still need that, you know, that other, you know, mindset of the.
Oh, of course.
You
of
know,
course.
Maybe 18 to
even,
20 to
even,
25.
You know, there was a guy, I remember, who like hated me. But oh, that wow. was at the time when, you know, so I started as an opera singer and I would mix opera with Broadway musicals.
Wow.
I would take opera from the regular opera houses, bring it into theater, do wow. smaller version, more for the regular audience okay. of today. You know?
And you were the producer of these films?
Yeah, producer, wow. director.
But well, you were an actor too,
everything.
Right?
Even I was the plumber. Of
oh my God.
There was once a leak, I was fixing
oh
it.
Oh my God.
I did everything, you know.
And you did like 100 of these, right? Am I correct?
Oh yeah, more.
No way.
Yeah. Because what I was doing, which was very unique at that time, was... you know, I will go to theaters. So theaters, it was really at a time, talking 20, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, where okay. people were judging you a lot by your age.
Oh, okay.
You know, like today is different. Today you can find an 18-year-old mm-hmm. who has built a makeup company and
right.
makes $10 million yes. a year. I was not mm-hmm. making $10 million mm-hmm. when I was 18.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same. I was living at my parents' house.
Yeah.
Can you help me $5?
yeah, exactly.
Can us I take too. Some food home?
You know, right? That was us.
So what I did is I was working, whether it was as a dishwasher, all of that, okay. and going to the theater and say, look, I have some savings. Can I rent your venue? So I would rent it for one night, you know, make some money, a second night, amazing. Make some money, etc. And until the point that I will go to theaters and say, okay, instead of renting the theater for like a week, I would say, give me 7 days, you know, but spread it throughout the year, like one date every month.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And what I would do is I would bring a different show.
Oh, wow.
Every month. So it brought me many things. It brought me the fact that the same audience could come back to all these shows. Wow. It would make me exist for the press because we rely a lot, you know, in the press.
Right.
Today, not so much as before, but still for me, it's what is important is also the critic of the press. So the press was writing almost every month because you had a new show, you know, and you would hire different actors, different people, and different audience, and they would come back again and you would expand, you know. Wow. And of course, I wouldn't play just in that theater. I would play it also in other theaters, a little bit outside of Paris. So I've always worked like that on the long term. Also for me as an artist, you need to have, I would say, to visualize yourself on the long term. Like you have, I call it to design your life, to design your season. Okay.
Love that.
So this season, so at least I knew that for the whole year, I knew I had some place to go. So if I meet someone in March, I can say, oh, come the 12th, I have a show there. If I meet someone in April, come the 16th, I have the, you know.
Wow.
So that was really what really made me start. But we're talking like 20 years ago. And then after I became an artistic director with venues and was putting my own shows, my own opera. But I spoke about that because at that time, because I was bringing opera, I had, of course, criticism from the purist of opera, the integrist of opera.
I'm sure, I'm sure.
Now we don't talk about them anymore because now the world of opera has expanded so much.
Yes.
But you're talking to the guy who was one of the first to have a website. Mm-hmm. First opera singer had a website.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of the first to put opera videos on YouTube.
Oh my God.
And people were like, oh, why not put videos when you are singing the shower while we're there, you know? Or when I had a website, people were like, oh, you are you a business? You selling something? Yeah. I thought you were an artist. No. Mm-hmm. So there were all that stuff. But even these people, I contact them. I befriend them.
Yes.
And I'm like, let me meet you.
Right.
And we meet and I show them my new movie, my new album, a new recordings. Mm-hmm. And I say, what would you say? Mm-hmm. And believe me, there are stuff that will come out. Like the one I remember told me, you know, you see, produced by David Ciro, directed by David Ciro, written by David Ciro. It's like, put a film by David Ciro and that's it. You know?
Okay,
and I'm like, you're absolutely right.
Oh
you know?
God,
and now I even went back to my previous movies to correct that.
Oh, wow.
So you need really to learn and to get from everybody, even my mom, you know, she doesn't know too much about all of that, but she watches something, she says, I didn't understand the story.
Okay. You know? Okay. And you can learn from that.
So then you know you have to.
Yes.
You have such a vast of knowledge in the opera field. Did you perform in huge audiences or was it more like directly in front of the camera? How did you do that?
Oh, no. I was always a stage guy.
Oh, okay. No kidding.
Yeah. Every year I count, you know, but I passed 2,500 performances.
Wow, 2,500 performances?
Would you be open to singing something as an opera singer?
Yeah, what do you want?
Sing a little something?
What can I do?
Let's
That's the thing.
Something.
Surprises.
Okay.
I'm so scared.
Non piandrai farfallone amoroso, notte giorno d'intorno girando, delle belle turbando il riposo, narcisetto arancino d'amor. Delle belle turbando il riposo, narcisetto arancino d'amor. Non piandrai questi bei pennacchini, quel capello ricero e galante, quella chioma, quell'aria brillante, quel bel milioronesco color, quel bel milioronesco color, non piavrai quei pennacchini, quel cappello, quella chioma, quell'aria forelli e ma.
Wow, that was so amazing.
All right, wow.
Oh my God.
I got...
I haven't sang for a week. I'm not warmed up. You know, when the people go, I'm a little bit.
That was so
it's like when
good.
I show a movie that I believe is wow. done ready, you know. Mm-hmm. So I show the movie, I say, you know, it's really a skeleton. It's a draft, oh, really.
That was a draft.
And
okay.
then they say, well, you told me that's yeah. right. That's really good.
That was like, really good.
You know, but when they tell you, oh, thank God you told me it's a draft, because that's really
my God.
I felt like we were at an opera house.
What inspired wow. you? Like, let's I'm gonna go to the yeah. roots, because you're in film, you got an opera. So when you were young, what one day clicked in your mind and you were like, I want to pursue this
yeah,
type of career?
Before you answer that, actually, yeah, because you're totally right. I mean, producer, acting, like how were you able to be, and also marketing. I mean, you were marketing these opera shows. You're putting them together, producing
yeah,
them.
Yeah, promoting them.
Promoting them. You're acting. You're doing like everything.
No, impresario. I like that word, you know, like, because before you didn't have really emails and everything.
Right.
So you had to go to doors, you
yes.
know. And to bring and to, and I really went to get my audience one by one. Like mm-hmm. I went to sing in the hospitals. I went to sing in schools to
wow.
create the new audience.
It's like wow. you had a totally different life.
You have to create all of that. I even went to perform in prisons.
Wow.
You know, it's
wow.
so funny because I saw guys who were with me in school.
No way. Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Nice to see you.
And some of them, what I was happy is that once they got released, they came to
okay.
see my show.
Oh, wow. There you go. There
and,
you go.
You know, it's scary wow. when you know someone who's been, you saw in jail, who seem, you see him like,
oh, yeah.
live, you know,
that you
it's like, oh, hey, yeah. hey.
You're like, I better, you're like, I better put on a good show. I better
yeah,
put
no,
on
no,
a good
yeah,
show.
Really
you know
what I mean? No, no, but that's.
But yeah, where did this inspiration come from? Like Mr.
That's
Eli
a good
said.
Question.
That's
it's, I had a moment,
okay.
really. But it was really always the desire to entertain people,
okay.
you know, and to make people happy. And I always put a really strong mind into strong thought into what people can think of me.
Of
not
course.
Like, oh, I'm afraid of my reputation or mm-hmm. I want to have followers. I really don't care about that. It's the least of my worries. But I really care about not disappointing people,
mm-hmm.
which goes by honoring when we spoke about trust. That
yes.
goes by honoring the,
yes.
the trust.
Most
you know?
Definitely.
It's like you have to be better than if it was even for yourself.
Wow.
You
right.
know? So and people look up to you. I hire over, you know, 2,500 actors, you
my
know.
Goodness.
So I want them to be proud when they put my name on their resume.
That's
that
beautiful.
It worth something. That's
right.
why, you know, I don't go out
uh-huh.
in these places. I don't
uh-huh.
do this kind of stuff because
yes.
there is nothing I will ever do that if it lands on the cover of the New York Times,
right.
I wouldn't be proud of it.
I love that.
You know what
got
I mean?
Yes.
So I've always been very careful. But I had a
that's
moment
great.
Once when I was living in the suburbs of Paris, you know, a poor guy with the
okay.
little Vespa,
uh-huh.
was always not working. And I was a big fan of Bon Jovi.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And yeah. And I was, you know, singing in front of the mirror. I wanted to
amazing.
Be like him, you know.
Okay.
And
I'm picturing all this.
Yeah. And one day I said to everybody, one day I will meet him.
How old
nobody
were you at the
believed,
time?
15, 16. You know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
13, 14 around
okay,
that time.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
I was already dating my teacher at that time.
Okay. It was legal in Paris.
Okay, in Paris.
Maybe it's
okay.
legal out there.
Yeah, back in those
days. I'm sorry. But the jokes
yes.
aside,
uh-huh.
it was I was already working in a restaurant. I was already, you know, a 13, 14-year-old.
Yes.
I was already in an adult world, in
mm-hmm.
a way. Yeah. And yeah, and I said one day I would meet Bon Jovi. Yeah, this is before social media. Now you can write to the stars.
Right.
You don't know if they're gonna see, but at least
you can hope.
And one day, you know, long story short, I find out he does a concert there. I arrived the first one. I'm in the first row. I scream so much, you know, that he stops. There's the video of that.
No
he
way.
He stops his performance and say, what's your name, man?
Wow.
I said, I'm David. You're a cool guy, David.
Wow.
And I befriended everybody.
Oh my God.
That
gosh.
I was able to go to the after party.
Oh, wow.
And I met him and we took a picture.
Wow.
You know? And that day, remember, that I was so in my sweet. Little motorbike.
Uh-huh.
I was 15 year old.
Wow.
And I said, you did it. And that's that moment that I understood that it's
wow.
a mix of believing in it, but when the opportunity comes, you have to catch
okay.
it.
Yes.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay.
That's also very important. That sometimes you have to say, let's do it. Let's go. And also invest on your relationship with people.
Yes.
Okay.
Like you know, the guy of the security, you would think he's a nobody.
Yeah. Mm.
He is actually the guy
right.
that you have to be friends with.
Yeah, yes. I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Forget about being a friend of the
mm-hmm.
owner.
Mm-hmm.
Be friend with the guy of the security. Yes. So I would bring, you know, some perfumes that I was buying for $20 and I say, so this amazing. Is for you.
Wow.
For me, no one has it. Yeah, you know. But I would wait when the doors are open, if I can mm-hmm. go in, I would. Wait here.
This is so great. I love you know, this so much. Say,
all right, look, come in.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, of course.
So it was always a mix of that and diplomacy. And
okay.
I have, if there's one gift I have, is that right away, which of course is a gift I developed with the years and the people I met, is that when I meet someone, I know right away, okay, that one is like this, and like that. You know,
yes.
right away.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And I know... Okay, these are the buttons not to push. These are the buttons to push.
So you can read people like almost like an intuition, huh?
Yeah, an intuition. Of course, sometimes you're wrong, sometimes. But this is why I always navigated well among the people. Mm. Other people who say no to everybody, to me, they said yes. You know, mm. I mean, think about it. I mean, all the people I interviewed, all the
right.
people I had in my movies,
yes.
these are people that... Eli Tahari, he right. said no to all the biggest people. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a movie about a very famous... French comedian called Christian Clavier. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, I have Jean Reno, who is wow. known for The Professional, for the, Mission Impossible and all the
oh,
movies.
Yes.
But Christian Clavier is, mm-hmm. is my hero, is the greatest movie actor of France.
Right. Wow.
And he said no to everybody. But me, he said yes.
Wow.
Why? Because I was like, I want to talk about you, about
wow.
not about your story, which
right.
I can find on Google,
uh-huh.
but I want to know what's going on in your mind when
yes.
you're on stage, when you create,
yes.
when you do these
yes.
popular movies,
wow.
these, you know,
wow.
or these number one hits. So, you know, and again, to honor the trust and
yes.
and it's not always easy, but you have to work on it. And what I like in a movie is that you can always go back to it.
I love
but,
that.
But you're
I
also very
that.
Personable. I mean, just meeting you, this is what, second time?
Mm-hmm.
I think, or
yes,
maybe third
yes,
time?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well,
just,
we met one time, but mm-hmm. we were all asleep. So I don't
right, know. Yeah, okay.
We're wearing leather.
Right?
yeah. I have a vague, you know,
okay.
you had
God.
A weep. You said, wake up, David.
It was dark.
What kind of dream is this?
I have some vague memories.
Right, right. I can barely remember, too. I can barely remember.
No, but you really are. You're very personable. And that, I think, is why people magnetize to you. And they want these parts because
but you know because
more.
It's not a job for me.
Yeah,
for me it's my life.
Wow,
it's really my life. It's not a gig. It's not from the moment I open my eyes
yes.
to the moment I close them in the day. There's nothing but my work.
Mm,
so
I
of course
that.
It's hard, you know, for personal life and you know having friends and all of that, and of course leaving my parents in Paris. it's always hard because you go to do all the stuff,
right.
but. It's in my blood. I have to have it, even
yes.
though I can retire, I can mm-hmm. stop working, but I just love it every day to come back to it and to improve and even to go back to my previous movies and to re-edit
oh,
and
yeah.
to upload
wow,
everywhere to refresh the files,
wow.
you know. But it's always new challenges come your way. That's why all these big guys, you know, which I'm far from, you know, but all these big guys, you know, like DiCaprio after the Titanic doesn't
right.
need really
mm-hmm.
to prove anything, you know.
Right, right,
that,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Doesn't
exactly.
need to hire PR. You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but you go back to it because it's. I don't compare myself to him, of course.
I was like, you kind of look like him a little bit, you know, this look back hair.
Yeah.
You know, just say.
Rose! You know, I can try to talk with an American accent.
Oh,
also,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Great, you know, great people. If you want to be sure that you really want to sound American, you have to think, okay, make sure they don't understand me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
wow.
yesterday I was there, it was great people, were fantastic.
Wow. I so understood that.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back because you said that you had that moment of awe. And I think so that moment of awe is when Bon Jovi literally looked at you, pointed you out, because you were already, like you said, believing that. And then it actually happened. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you went home on your bike in Paris, 15 years old, not any money really. And you were like, I made this happen.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that's when you started your journey.
Yeah, but the fact that I was really, because I was singing so loud his song, so he stopped with me. But actually, I felt bad because I understood I disturbed him now.
Yeah, of course. But
we need to meet him at the after party.
Okay.
That same night after the concert that I was about to sneak in. And I said, I work here, you know, I was about to get there. There was the caterer, you know, so I took something from the caterer and so I said, please, excuse me, can you open the door? Thank you. So I was about to play. And they said, excuse me, with who are you? I said, I'm with Michael. He's over there. Michael who? Michael, the brother of John. You know, and there's no Michael, there's no John, there's no Jean-Pierre, Jean-Louis.
I already felt for it.
So I was making up stuff, you know, to go in, you know. But at the end of the day, it was a mix of, okay, you want it, you don't give up. But I've never been the guy who goes through the window. You know what I mean? Like, I realized after that the time you would try to get into the window, first of all, people can throw you out, but I can use that energy to build my own door.
Wow. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
And I know that your own door would be here to stay. While the window, you have wind and that's it, you know? So, and windows can disappear, you know? So at least the door would be there. So that's so why great. I never wanted to wait for the phone call.
Wow.
You know, I would never be the guy who waits for the phone call.
So you, never, with your energy, never. So you create your own door.
Yeah, I've always been there. And I say yes to people. And I always say, when I be in my grave, the later, the better, you know. But when I be in my grave, I wouldn't have time to think about it. When people say, would you like to do that? Even though that's very different of what I would normally do, I say yes. I don't even know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know if I can do it. Maybe it's going to cost me a fortune. But I say yes, because I believe that. Between me trying to get something and someone offering me something, I go for.
Well, I love that you're, you know, that's the whole thing that you have. You have the power to manifest things. And we're actually very similar to you now that we're interviewing this, because we're all about, the reason for the podcast is because we get to meet new people. We get to kind of invite new literature into our business. We get to understand who you are. Yeah. And that allows us to become better people. And that's why we love doing these podcasts, because we now get to know you more personable.
Yes.
Just like you're getting to know all these things that you're creating these things. You're getting to know actors. You're getting to know even yourself a lot more as you grow.
1,000%.
And I think that's so impressive. And people don't know that. They don't know the behind the scenes of what's going on in, you know, David's mind. But you know, even right now you're marinating something. But I think that's very powerful that a lot of people don't understand.
Yes. Yeah, but you know, there is never a you. You know, there is never, I love, you know, when you meet a girl and she tells you, but you don't know me, you know, like you never know someone, you know,
you never do.
And you hope you will never know someone, you know, because even you can be with someone for 20 years and one day that person will say something, you'll be like, yeah, we never thought you would say, you know,
right.
So you never happened. Know.
That's why people argue, right?
Yeah.
Right.
No, but that's why we have lawyers. You know, you will never know someone. And the best thing you can hope is evolution, you know. And of course, the toughest moments that, you know, I had were the ones that I learned the most. And it's hard to admit it, you know.
Can we actually talk about that?
Of course.
So we've been sitting here with you and you are spreading so much joy, so much knowledge, so much. You could do it, and you can do many different things as well. You don't have to just be a producer. You could do so many different things in this world, and you are showing us that we can do that. But have you ever had a time in your life, and you just said you did, which, what was that time that it was so hard?
I tell you right away, there's no need to go anywhere else. One guy who was my ex-best friend, who I knew for 20 years, his name is Carl, and he one day robbed all the money I had. And it was in 2013, so it was like 10 years ago.
Wow.
And at that time, I have saved up to $500,000, which was a lot.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot to anybody.
That's a lot of money.
And even today, it's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Before, and that was
back
like...
Back then, it's like more.
More than 10 years of savings of, you know, if I could live in a two bedrooms apartment, I would live in a studio. Because I've always been that guy
who
was like...
You're building.
Adjust.
A I felt I never deserved it. I never deserved, you know, even when I had my first real nice apartment, mm-hmm. I would sleep on the side of the bed, no on the top of the sheet, because I was like, David. I'm not, you know, even when I started to be invited by big people and big companies and they were putting me into these nice hotels, mm-hmm. I was like, no, you know, you don't have to put me in that hotel.
Yeah.
The one is no fine. No. Or in business. He said, no, don't worry. Put me in coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'm like, business, I take
right,
it.
Right, right. Yeah, like, okay, you know,
give me 5 stars. Give me 6 stars.
Exactly. Okay,
yeah, wow.
Seven if you got it.
So now, you know, same story. When I bought my nice, you know, my Porsche, you know, I was like, you know, I wanted to put plastic on the thing.
Oh,
you know,
to not like, damage it?
I don't feel I deserve it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, he robbed me everything I had. Right. And I went from living really well to having 2 eggs in the, you know, but it was really, really, really the toughest moment in my life. But then, you know,
and
it's like an arc.
It was a shock to you.
Yeah. And also the moral impact that it had on me, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I really wanted, I don't want to say I wanted to end my life, but believe me, I was like, you know, but I did. 2 things that saved me, actually 3 things. The first one is that every time I work with people, I invested on the long term with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, mm-hmm. I think, the problem of a lot of the younger generation is, I call it the swipe culture. You know, like on Tinder, yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how can you say no to the person you just saw once? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a lot of yes, no, yes, no.
Got it.
So... I've always invested on the long term of people. So when I had issues that I was really not homeless, but like kind of, because mm-hmm. I couldn't even $50 at
my
the
goodness.
Supermarket. It's the first time I talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank
you know,
you so much.
So $50, wow. you know, of groceries, mm-hmm. the card was declined.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And of course, when you have a problem, everything crumbles. You know, everything crumbles.
It always feels that
the
way.
The check
too.
Started to bounce. And, you know, as
the
a
tire
producer,
gets flat.
Yeah. And as a producer, you rely a lot also on your financial
your
trust,
fund.
You know.
Uh-huh.
So I called everybody. I said, this is exactly what happened to me. I say, you come to my place. You take everything you want as a guarantee. I honored, it took me a year, but I paid every single bill, even the government, every single dollar. I don't owe a single dollar to anyone.
Wow.
And, so what I did, I went home. I started from the door until the last wall
yes.
of the apartment. And everything I saw, from forks, cups, shirts, I put it on eBay.
Oh, wow.
Everything.
Wow.
Then I took my phone. From the letter A of contact to the letter Z, I called everybody.
Oh, my
I said,
God.
Do you have work for me? Wow. Anything. You know,
wow.
And then you realize people that you helped making $500,000 uh-huh. organizations. They're like, oh, thank you, but we're not interested for this year. I'm not asking you if you're interested. I'm telling you, I have nothing, you know. So, so you know, and then, you know, a waiter I knew, he said, look, I work now in a restaurant. They have a stage and sometimes they have artists, you know. I said, can you please introduce me? And they said, we don't know if we can have opera because this is people who smoke the shisha
mm-hmm. oh,
and
yes.
eat kebabs and stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I said, let me do one night for free and you try it, you know. And then they liked it. And after 4 or 5 nights, people were like, look, David, they don't like opera. I said, can I stay work as a waiter? And while my movies were screened on mm-hmm. television.
Wow.
You know. And sometimes
after 10 years of all the savings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like all that hard work.
Literally.
And now you're just literally.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the lawyers, plus all of that, plus everything that could, you know, impact you. But I'm going to say something. And I hope, of course, it won't be taken the right way. Mm-hmm. Is that I wouldn't be here with you if you wouldn't have robbed me.
Mm. See, everything has a reason. There's a cause and effect.
Because what happened is that when he robbed me, I was like, okay, now either I go back being an extra in a movie, you know, or I move on to something bigger. So I got approved for a visa and I had a theater in New York who wanted to welcome my show.
Okay.
I said, you know what? Even if I go to New York and I have money, I have to start at the low place. Mm-hmm. So let's go there. So I went there eating the $1 pizza every day. I was even calculating. It's the first time I talk about it.
No way.
I was even calculating, you know, there was always, you know, when you cut it like this, one slice that is a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. So I would let someone go before me to be sure to have
the bigger slice
that was a little bit bigger. And it was very difficult. I was crying all my tears. But you know what? I moved to New York, and because you have nothing to lose. So I went there, and then after got cast in a musical, then started to play in a venue. Then the venue was like, look, we love you on stage, but we don't want to deal with that producer anymore. So we know you've been producing. Would you like to produce your own show? I said, sure. But I said, but I don't have money for rental. Right. They said, no, we share the earnings. And like this, started to do stuff. So you can never take it for granted.
That long-term relationship created.
And that time comes back again, you know. Then you think you're doing well. I start from zero. Then 2019, finally, I'm like, okay, I made it, you know. And then COVID happens. And then boom, no shows, everything canceled. Because what people don't know is that all the theaters, they didn't return the money.
Yeah.
You know, all the posters you printed, they didn't return the money, you know, because the dates was not good anymore, you know. All the marketing, all the press, all the PR, all the audience, you had to refund, plus the transactional fee, you know. All of that, no one thought about it. So you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do? And then, okay, let's do movies. And then, boom.
I love the concept that, and I think a lot of people don't get this. And I think it's because we're wiser, being in our 40s. Yeah. I feel like we get it. But I feel like you lose to win. And I feel like that's the way you were able to pivot. You understood, okay, obviously nobody likes to lose at that time. You probably hated life. Because I hated life probably three times already.
Oh, wow.
When you go from somewhere high to just crashing. But then somehow, some way, things change.
Yeah.
And that's what you found. You found a way to pivot that bad situation into something that's so much bigger and better than what you probably ever thought about since 2019. And now you're directing, coming out at the Cannes festivals. You're doing everything so much more, 10xing everything.
Yeah, dollar pizzas to Cannes Film Festival, red carpet.
But tomorrow I can go back to that. No, but that's the truth. I mean, anything can happen to you.
Right,
this is
right.
Why I never say no. Mm-hmm. I never, you know, even when I have a show, I filmed it and I didn't have time to edit it. I say, I keep that in case, you know, one day I have nothing to do and I can, you know. So you say yes to everything and I say yes to everybody, because again, you never know. There is a French saying,
you never know.
Don't say to a fountain, I will not drink your water, you know, because that can be your only source of water.
Water.
You know?
Yes.
And you say, I have a radio show. I get paid, you know, two-figure number per episode. So, you know, but I keep it because maybe one day that can be the only thing I'm going to have.
Love
you know,
it. That's so true.
So your relationships, would you say, would be the main thing that kind of brought you out of this, like, darkness?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a dark moment.
And honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, not to pretend you have when you don't have. You know?
Yes.
That's why I always say, even with my friends, I say, guys, I have money now. It's on me. You know what I mean? You know?
Okay, yeah.
Or I say, David, you want to go out? I would love to, but I'm broke. You know? So I've always been very honest with it. And trust me, you know, I've done the movies that lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
I've done movies that made a lot of money. And I've always been very candid about it. But you see, if my movie number 5 made $2 million, by example, and my number 4, number 3, number 2 lost $150,000, you know, I would have never been able to make that number 5 movie if I wouldn't have done the 4th and the 3.
You
cannot go from here to there.
And you just have to keep going no
matter
what.
You have to do the steps. And these are not failures. These are really good movies.
Right.
Wow.
And now I have a play that I wrote that opens in December in New York about the life of Muhammad Ali. It's called The One, you know?
Wow.
And I'm doing the movie version of that I'm filming.
Congrats.
So I'm learning a lot about the boxing world, which I'm not at all from that. And I heard once Mike Tyson, when he got knocked out. You know, and that never happened, Mike Tyson. And then he said, someone asked him, how did you feel about losing? He said, dude, that was one of my best fights.
Wow.
He said, the guy was better, but I gave everything I had. You know, wow. He said he was better, yes, but it was one of my best fights. Mm. So you can do something that is not necessarily going to make money, but it can be sometimes the best of your work. Wow. Also, right. And you need that. You need that training.
Right. You
need
that experience. You go up against the obstacles. I mean, even in COVID, where most people are down and, you know, not really thinking of doing anything because you really can't. I mean, you actually created this watch line, and we're wearing it right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
sweet. So I had to shout Napoleon. You out. And like, Napoleon, look how amazing this is. Like,
no,
and we're all wearing one.
But you did this, exactly. And you did this in COVID, and most people were not really thinking. They were just like, okay, I'm gonna like let myself be a victim. But again, an obstacle came to you, and you were like, what else can I do? Yeah. And we're sitting here today, years later, wearing this beautiful watch.
Because I saw a lot of these actors doing virtual readings of plays, and I'm like, who is going to watch that in 5 years?
You know? Okay.
Or doing shows with the mask on or with the transparent plastic stuff. They say, who is going to want to watch that? So I said, let me do something that I'm going to use that opportunity, learn new language, learn new skills, learn new craft, you know, instead of spending all day watching TV series on Netflix.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
I was like, I was busier than ever, you know, during COVID. Because I did a lot of recordings, I did a lot of albums, I wrote a lot of plays, I wrote also books, even though I don't consider myself an author at all. But it was very, very interesting. And I learned the craft really of filmmaking during during COVID. Wow. And then it went, you know, my first movie on about Elita Hari, which was released in 2021.
Yes.
And it was an instant success. And since then I have 12 movies.
Oh my God. Fascinating.
Plus red TV carpets, series, a TV show. I mean, it's
so phenomenal.
Full throttle.
So
phenomenal.
Well, with all your successes, obviously we're coming to the end of our podcast.
Oh no.
What is, I know.
I feel like we can talk forever.
I know we could. Right. However,
you guys have donuts here, by the way.
We do have donuts.
These two guys, let me tell you something. They treat you like no one. Oh, they bring you a big plate of donuts. That, I think, needs to be said. You know, so I come back for the podcast, not so much for the interview, but for the donuts.
For the donuts. We love, my God. We love you.
So more donuts for all you podcasters.
And they're huge, man.
Oh my God.
I'm used to California.
California diet.
The California diet. But
be careful. You know?
Oh my God. So going back to one of our questions we'd love to ask you is, you know, you're already so successful. What's the next big thing? For the next few years, have you already developed a plan? What do you want to do? Or what kind of exit do you have for yourself and to kind of put it all together?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So basically, to continue what I'm doing, stronger and bigger, you know. But I always say in everything you do, you need past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, it's important also to look at your past and the previous work you've done to really have a new look into it, you know. And that's why, you know, I re-recorded some albums. That's why I re-edited some of my movies. And so just to continue, you don't know where life will take you. Everybody tells me, oh, you should do action movies. You should.
Yes.
But if that's what works for me now, let it work that way.
Yeah.
You know, I always say you don't go to McDonald's to eat sushi.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So I always say if people come to you, they come for a recipe. Mm. You know,
okay,
if and that might be the reason why we criticize that recipe, that we go to that recipe. You know, people can say, oh, McDonald's, it's too much calorie, whatever.
Yes.
Tomorrow McDonald's, that's string beans and with the cauliflower.
You know, yes.
It's not gonna be
not gonna
people
work.
Gonna be like, what?
This is not McDonald's.
So you go to my people say, have a seat, we put a napkin on you with the fork and knife. No, they just give it to me.
We're starving.
So that's the thing, though, to continue. And I'm so happy that the movies I've done are so different.
Wow.
Elita Hari, Bad Fashion. I'm refilming Richard Olinsky, who is a guy you should have also.
I love that.
A phenomenal artist who had, you know, his crocodile on the Rodeo Drive.
Oh, really?
Like the big sculptures that they were right there.
Yeah.
You had one just in front, I remember.
Okay,
And so a movie about him. Lisa Azuelo's great filmmaker. Ellen Grimaud, the pianist. I have Jeff Hamilton, of course.
Yes.
And in France, I have Serge Lama, who is a big star of French music, and Christian Clavier, the greatest French actor, comedian in the world. But you don't know where he goes, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. I have that movie that I'm doing about the life of Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm going to film it in black and white because okay. I like that wow. color of the okay. boxing.
And it goes really well with his like background.
Yeah. So that I'm filming the December that movie about the life of Gianni Versace. Also, wow. which that, no would be,
that would be great.
I want the two of you in the movie,
that
bro.
Would we'll love that.
You better be in that movie.
We'll
that
be open would to be it.
Amazing. Oh, you will be so good in the movie.
We'll have to be more in shape.
No, yeah. but also sometimes
wow.
you meet people yes. and people tell me what excites you the most. I say it's the next one, wow. the next idea, the I next person you,
I love that.
You meet, you know, and sometimes you meet people and you're like, wow, I want to do something with them. Mm-hmm. And you learn of something new and you read a play and someone walks in the street. I remember I was walking in Central Park and this big black dude, you know, comes to me and said, man, I'm so sad you don't do any more Shakespeare.
Oh, wow.
I used to go to your Shakespeare play. I hated Shakespeare, but I love when you brought Shakespeare, because I was making it more modern. I was rewriting the language, mm-hmm. making it more. You still feel the Shakespeare mm-hmm. style, but I was known for my adaptations like 10 years ago mm-hmm. or so. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I come back. I call 2-3 theaters. What do you think if we do that Romeo and Juliet like this and like that, you know, or we do Hamlet with that style? Say, okay, great idea. You want me? Okay, me. That's the power I have today, is that
wow.
I can make the calls and so things good. Happen.
Wow.
But they happen because they know that I would give 100% of myself, which took in backstage, I give 500% of myself. Mm-hmm. But they know that I would do everything that is possible, and I was amazing. Talking about boxing, George Foreman against Muhammad Ali. Foreman would have died in the ring before he would let Ali. Me, I would die on the stage before. I won't do anything that is possible to improve it and wow. to make it better to the audience. Wow. But you have to be willing to go to the movie theaters. You know, mm-hmm. I go to not every single screening, mm-hmm. but to most mm-hmm. of the screenings on my movies, and I talk with the audience, and I go to meet the movie theater owner uh-huh. and the theater owner. I know one guy I saw on Facebook, he had something with his knee, was at the hospital. I went to see him at the hospital. You know, I know one of them was homeless during COVID. I called him and I helped him out. I knew him from 20 years. He was actually not really nice with me, but you know, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He allowed you to be in his air.
Understood.
You know? And that's, for me, that is the greatest gift that we can have. And, yes. and to be around you guys,
mm-hmm. and
it
you as
means
well.
So much to
thank
me.
You, thank you, David. Thank
I'm
you
so
much.
Grateful
well.
To Jeff Hamilton thank for you, Jeff. Introducing thank us.
So
and, blessed. And I can't wait mm-hmm. to share to the whole world the trailer about him. Because
oh, my God. That is we're in it, by the way, guys.
Yes,
we're in
and we saw glimpse. The trailer. So if you can see the excitement in my face, it's like, wow. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I literally have the chills again. It's just... You feel it. If I could say anything, that trailer, you feel it. And I was like, oh, I mean, I was looking at you like, I was like, oh my God, David, like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was you know, incredible.
I have your message. Insane. I took a screenshot when you were like, wow, my God.
Okay,
I sent
so
it
you
to
know.
Jeff. I said, if that, they like it, it means we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm turning red.
Well, but honestly, you know, I film mm-hmm. also reaction, people's mm-hmm. reaction. Like I do a Zoom where I share the screen mm-hmm. and I play it and I record.
Oh,
you know, and
oh
after I analyze and after
so
I see
smart.
When they go,
yes.
you know, like this, so I like, you know,
yeah,
or they go, you know, so it's important to analyze the audience, and you have to insist sometimes for that audience. Yes. And I always think to myself, no, it's good like this. Okay, now imagine you're getting $1 million to find 10 bad points mm-hmm. on it. What would they be? You know, mm-hmm. so right away, trust me. Oh, this
wow.
is not
oh, yeah,
good. This is
definitely.
Not good.
In the so, first minute, they'll know.
Oh, in the sure. first minute,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
You find
I love
it's
this.
Such a great experience and environment and you know, sharing is what brings us together.
Yes, so that one thing alone changed my whole mindset too, because sometimes I just think having blueprints is everything, and you have blueprints, but I think what the difference here is you can have blueprints. Like, you have, like, yeah, you have the blueprint. You have, like, you know what your movie's going to be about. You know the Muhammad Ali film. But you're also willing to go into it not knowing what's going to happen, and things can change, and maybe it's perfect, but even later you might go back and change.
Make the best of it.
Like, that's amazing.
Make the best of it, you know?
That's so amazing.
You don't know what you're going to get, but you know that you can get the most of it. I call that squeezing the orange, you know? You can go, okay, I have enough juice, you know? No, you can press more and have more.
Yes.
Like, I will create more orange juice with one orange than anybody with 10 oranges. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So because I would take every opportunity and I will push that opportunity to the maximum. And it doesn't necessarily come on the first day. It doesn't, you know, how many meetings I've done and trips I've done, where at the end there was nothing really, you know?
Right.
But I was able also to learn and show, and at least this is a good publicity for my craft and what I do. And when you give your best, sooner or later the phone rings. So it's been 25 years. Wow. I never had a single day where I was not working.
I love this.
Never.
Wow. Well, David, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Seriously, guys, we're going to roll out these reels most likely next week. These are amazing stories, and there's still more to hear about David. And David, where can anybody find you?
Well, you can call me 646.
Right, right. Wow, he's giving away the number.
I was not. You know, on my Instagram, even though I'm not too much on the social media, but it's you know, there's my website and there's a contact page. But actually, when people can find me, I said, no, I want to find them.
You know what I mean? Okay, so find you.
I was like, let me do the work that will create the most impact on people so that they don't have to find me, but my work finds them.
There you
I
go.
Love
so
that.
That's what I do. Oh, but I want to end by saying how much I love the two of you.
Thank you.
And your wonderful team, this adorable gentleman with the video, and we have Scarlett also.
Yes.
So I want to say how honored I am. I watch you guys very often.
Thank you.
And you guys are so important and so part of Los Angeles. Like, when we Google Los Angeles, we see you, everywhere.
No way.
So you guys are like really icons of LA.
I appreciate that.
And you're part of that, you know, landscape.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And that truly...
Wow.
Truly means the world to me to be
thank
here.
You.
So
thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, we're family now, so we're family, and there's
when
a lot
can
more.
I move in?
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, he's moving
now.
You can move in.
Oh, yeah. You move. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. I'll give you the key.
No, please, I need a place to stay.
There you go.
Rent is.
Well, David, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you guys. Stay tuned for all the videos.
Such an honor.
Bye, guys.